The last time we were together, we talked about the fact that we've been enriched in every way through Jesus Christ. What an exciting theme. It again highlights the wonder of all that Jesus has done for us. And it should translate into a life changed by him. I want to spend some time on that theme again, and I'm going to do so by looking into Paul's letter to the Romans, because there's some teachings about grace and worship that I think are really important to us as we understand more and more of what's true of us because of who we are in Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if it's true of you, but there are many, many Christians that are caught into a very transactional, performance-driven faith. They believe that they've got to perform in order to please God, and then they receive the blessings of God. And so the formula would be live good, get God's blessings, as opposed to understanding the place of grace and how faith in Christ is what secures us with God. Now, faith in Christ means faith in all that Christ has done for us. So in his coming to cross the universe, he has reconciled us to God, and he's given us an opportunity to be his children. This is a theme that I want to emphasize over and over and over again. When you express faith in Christ, you become God's child. You may not know it. You may not feel it. The enemy may try to convince you that's not true, but it is true. Once you accept Christ and you express faith in him, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within your heart. And you are now declared as God's child. And as being God's child, the Holy Spirit's there. And you receive an inheritance that's yours, not earned, but flowing over into your life by grace. That sets us free from that neurotic hyperactivity of how am I doing, as opposed to resting secure in who we are in Jesus Christ. Now, one of the things that Paul was emphasizing in the book of Romans was grace. I know a lot of people feel that in the first couple of chapters he was really hitting sin hard, but he begins to move through to show us the wonder of grace. And what he wants to show us is that if we try to find peace with God through our behavior, through measuring up, through obeying all the rules, that it will end in brokenness. But if we express faith in all that Jesus has done, that in his coming and in his death and in his resurrection, God has provided something very special for us. If we, in fact, believe that we are amazingly secure. Now, in chapter 9, Paul is talking about the nation of Israel and how at this time many people were refusing to believe the message of grace, the message of God. And as a result, Paul said that they were pursuing a righteousness by obedience to the law, but they weren't getting there. He actually writes then, the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it. You see, they've been made right with God. They weren't pursuing it through obedience, yet they've been made right with God. Well, how did that happen? It is a righteousness that has come by faith. Faith in what? Not faith in faith. Faith in what Christ did, that they believe that Jesus crossed the universe in order to make them God's child, and that it's a gift of grace, and that when you accept Christ into your heart, a transformation occurs and you become God's child. That's what happened to you when you accepted Christ. If you haven't accepted Christ, that's what can happen to you. Now, Paul goes on to say this, the people of Israel have pursued the law as a way of righteousness, but they haven't attained their goal. All right, this is important. What he's saying is that the people of Israel did not trust the grace of God by expressing faith in Christ. They wanted to try to measure up to the full standard of the law. They believed that was the only way to please God and to be acceptable by God. And then what happened? It says they did not attain their goal. And then it says, why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but by works. Oh, wow. There's a freedom there that we need to embrace. I mean, an amazing freedom that is ours in Christ. Paul talked about this in Ephesians chapter 2. We receive righteousness by faith. It is an act of God's grace upon us, not by works. Now, it doesn't mean that our lives shouldn't translate into a changed life. Oh, that comes. We're going to talk about that. But it begins here by saying there's two ways here. One way is the way of grace. The other way is the way of obedience to the law. And Paul says nobody gets there by trying to be obedient to the law. It doesn't work. Trying to measure up, trying to perform, trying to maintain every standard as a way of being secure before God fails every time. But expressing faith in Christ does not. Don't let the enemy beat you up today. Yeah, there may be some places in your behavior you need to come home to your identity in Christ. That may be true. But in terms of who you are God's child, and that was given to you by grace, a righteousness that comes by faith. In chapter 10, Paul says, Christ is the culmination of the law so that there can be righteousness for everyone who believes. Jesus came, fulfilled every standard of a perfect life, then assigned your name to it so that by faith you receive that righteousness. That's why he says later on, if you declare with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're saved. Do you hear that? He's saying that if you can trust what Christ has done, you'll be made whole. That's part of what salvation means. It doesn't mean you're simply going to escape from hell. It means that you're going to be made whole, that you're going to be back with the Father. You're going to be in tune with Him. It's part of the gift that God gives you. Now, let's go on to chapter 11 for a minute, where Paul says, beginning in verse 5 on through verse 6, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace, a remnant, a group of people who now belong to God, chosen by grace. And then he says, if it is grace, it cannot be based on works. If it were based on works, Paul says, then it would no longer be grace. This is why I'm amazed at grace. It's why grace takes my breath away. The gospel of grace, the message of salvation, the proclamation of the kingdom. Because right here, it is touching very centrally the difference between two ways of approaching God. Now, there are many, many Christians that, for a variety of reasons, believe, mostly because they've been taught, that their security with God comes because of the degree to which they measure up to the standards of God. Well, that's not what Paul is writing. Paul's saying your security, your righteousness, your holiness, your redemption comes through faith in Christ. That's amazing. Once again, one of the amazing, rich blessings of being the child of God. Now, I want you to pay a little attention again to what I'm saying here. Paul says, this remnant of what you're a part, you may maybe remember the last time we were together, a remnant connected with every believer all around the world, you're part of that. How did you become part of that? Not because you measured up, not because you performed, not because you obey the law and obey every requirement that you believe is a part of being a Christian. It is yours by grace. And Paul says, if it is by grace, it cannot be of works. And if it is of works, then grace is not present. Paul goes on later on in that chapter to say that one of the problems that have happened with many of the people that are the people of God, the people of Israel, is that because of their unbelief in what Christ has done, he says they're broken off through unbelief. And yet, you stand firm because of faith in the grace that God has poured out on you. He then says, don't be arrogant with this, but tremble. Why tremble? Because it is something amazing. And something this amazing, then, my friends, demands an amazing response. So let's just start with this, the whole idea of grace, amazing grace. Now, the question is, how should we be responding to this grace? Now, remember, by faith you are secure. I know you got that. By faith you have received all the enrichment that comes to you in Christ. By faith in God's grace, you will be held firm to the end. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. You are God's child. Now, the question is, how should we be responding? Well, that's where Romans 12 comes to play. Now, Romans 12 can often feel like bondage if you don't understand 9, 10, and 11 that come before it. Romans 12 says in the first verse, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true and proper worship." Now, let's put these things in order. We're not starting with Romans 12. Romans 12 is the response to what we've learned in 9, 10, and 11 about God's grace. That's why Paul says, in view of God's mercy, in view of how merciful God has been not to punish us for our brokenness, but instead send Jesus in order that we can be free, that we can be children of God, that we can have the Holy Spirit living within us, that we can have an inheritance that is so rich. In light of the extent of God's grace and mercy, now that we are secure, let us offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. That means, because of what Christ has done in our lives, let it translate into a changed life. Yeah, our lives should be different. Our attitudes, our values, our behaviors, our interests, they should be different. Making them different isn't what secures us in Christ, but because we are secure, that difference becomes an act of worship before God. So when other people are using crude language, you choose not to. Why? It's an act of worship. When other people are watching things they shouldn't be watching on television or attending movies that do not glorify the principles of the kingdom, you choose not to. Why do you choose not to? It's an act of worship. It's not a means of securing you to God. That's taken care of. But it's an act of worship. Reading your Bible, an act of worship. Tithing, an act of worship. Caring about your neighbor. Sharing your faith. Being willing to be generous with those that have need. Those are acts of worship. And if someone said, "Where did that come from?" You're able to say, "Oh, I have been poured out with the richest blessings that have come from my Father because of faith in Christ. I am in Him made right." This is my response to the wonder and the majesty of that grace. This is why Paul says, look, your life shouldn't look like the people in the world, but there's a transformation that occurred in you. And allow that transformation then to translate into a different life. So notice what we see. 9, 10, and 11 in Romans is really focusing on the fact that you can try to get there by works, but you're never going to get there. But if you express faith in Christ, a transformation occurs. You become God's child and you are righteous. You have fellowship with God. You are secure. Now that you are secure, offer your body as a living sacrifice, a way of saying thanks, a way of saying, this is one of the most important thing that's ever happened in my life. And it's going to translate into the way I use my mind and my voice and my arms and my legs and my resources. It's an act of worship. So when you find yourself straying and you have an attitude or behavior that doesn't line up with the kingdom, you're now well aware that as an act of worship, you come home. Teshuva, come home to who you are in Christ. Now, once Paul finishes that, he begins to talk about, what does this look like? Okay, let's give some practical examples of what it looks like to let your body be a living sacrifice. So from verse 3 on through verse 8, he talks about, again, spiritual gifts and that we do those things. We express our faith. We engage in different spiritual gifts. He says we have different gifts, and we get those gifts because of the grace given to us. Then he gives a list of gifts like prophecy and faith and service and teaching, encouragement, generosity, leadership, mercy. And Paul says, do these things cheerfully. That's what an act of worship looks like. It's not only going to church on Sunday and singing hymns, which can be an act of worship, but he's taking it to another level, and he is saying, now that you're so secure in Christ, let this be the way it translates. So Yeah. Are there times that maybe I want to do something that's more in the values of this world than it is the values of the kingdom? Yeah, absolutely. At some point, almost every day. But when I can remember what Christ has done for me and who I am in him, then all of a sudden that change, and it begins to translate into an amazing change in my life. And it's an act of worship. Now, Paul goes on. Here's some other practical ways in which your life can be a living sacrifice. Be sincere in your love. Hate what's evil. Cling to things that are good. That's an act of worship. Be devoted to people in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Boy, do we need that today. All you got to do is look at the news and you can see all of this disrespect and dishonoring that happens at every level. And Paul says, no, that's not a kingdom action. If you're secure in who you are in Christ and overwhelmed by grace, then let there be an act of worship in your life. Honor other people. Don't lack zeal. Keep spiritual fervor. And then he says this, be joyful in hope. That's an act of worship. When things are tough, keep touching joy. You're allowed to touch the suffering, most definitely, but touch the joy. Be patient in affliction. Be faithful in prayer. And then it says this, share with the Lord's people, with people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Now, let's make this very, very practical. So here you are, and you're suddenly aware of what's all of yours because of who you are in Christ. This amazing enrichment, this amazing gifting that has come to you in Jesus. Pretty exciting, isn't it? Now, as that begins to well up in your heart, you want to say to God, thank you in some very practical way. Okay, here's a practical way. Practice hospitality with someone in need. Think of someone today that you can serve. Give something, because that becomes the worshipful response to the amazing grace that God has put within you. And then I love the fact that he gives other practical statements here, like bless people, don't be cursing them, rejoice with those that are excited and mourn with those that are hurt, live in harmony with others, don't be proud, don't repay evil for evil, do what's right. And if possible, to the degree it depends on you, be at peace with all people. Wow. Now, if you read those verses in chapter 12 without first reading 9, 10, and 11, you could get the impression that this is the standard of behavior that you must achieve in order to please God. But you'd have it out of order. What you want to begin with is the gospel of grace. The fact that Jesus has done something that is so amazing and so stunning, and that now you are secure. You are his child. His spirit lives within you, and you have an enrichment that goes beyond compare. Now that is what's true of grace. Now, because of that grace, you go to chapter 12, and you recognize, I want to respond in worship. I want my life to be an act of worship in light of what has happened to me. I am secure, therefore let me worship God through my attitudes and my behaviors. And then what I've given you is a very, very practical list. Actually, Paul's given it to us. A very practical list as to how we can take Romans 12 in view of God's mercy to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. That is such a powerful teaching from Paul. And when you get it in the order that it was intended, there's a lot of freedom there. Now, if you listen to the previous podcast, I think it was called Enriched in Every Way, you know that I was sharing that Paul is going to challenge some very bad behavior in the lives of the Corinthians, but he begins with talking to them about the wonder of who they are, and that the wonder of who they are is a gift that's come to them in Christ. We're picking up that theme again this week, but it's in a very different way. We're looking at it in terms of the wonder of grace that takes our breath away. And it is so exciting that we then say, I want to live my life as an act of worship in response to what God has done for me. And then we look at this very practical list of things to do. Okay, here's a challenge. go to the Bible, read the verses I've given you, get to chapter 12, recognizing the amazement of grace in your life, and ask the Holy Spirit to highlight one of these practical acts of worship, and then go ahead and do it. Do it as an act of worship. You're not doing it and saying, God, watch me in order that I can be blessed by you. No, you're already blessed by him. This is your act of worship. This is how you respond to a God that is that good and is that amazing. I hope this will encourage you today, first to recognize who you are in Christ, but also to really hold fast to the wonder of the gospel of grace. A reminder that we'll be in Columbus, Ohio for a 4-day seminar on formational prayer. If you're interested, contact Lynn at healingcare.org. And there are still a few spots. I think we're up to about 180, 185 people that will be there. It's going to be great. 4 days in the presence of the Lord, wonderful worship, good prayer times. If you're interested, make sure you contact Lynn. God bless you.